The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
I heard you wanna chat with your girl, chat with your girl, chat with your girl, chat. Business and beauty, come and confess how you make your money and say yes to the gas.
Oh my gosh, we have a viral sensation, gender queer icon, and all around fabulous human. Please help me welcome Brendan Jordan.
Hi.
Yeah. What's up, queen?
Oh, nothing. I'm just chilling in my Maison Margiela, girl. It's a nice day.
Those of you may know Brendan from his viral video of him dancing in the background of a news reporter. Super viral, iconic. And now from that, since then, you've made a name for yourself. Social presence, looks, identity. And I think it's so cool that you took that and you came into your own. And I remember even so, like, talking to you one time, you were like, yeah, I'm starting beauty school, like, next month or something. You were telling me. And I was like, really, bitch? And you're like, yeah, I'm going to learn the whole thing. And I'm like, oh, my God, this girl's coming for my gig. I better step up my game. And here you are, glam, and I have no makeup.
I'm surprised. I was like, this is Patrick's story. I had to put on a lash. I hate
you. You have your YouTube channel. You have been on ET and the Queen Latifah show. You've walked the mark of Marco Runway. You have your own merch, model for American Apparel, performer, activist. It's like crazy. Could you have imagined like that moment? Not even from that moment, but as like a little kid.
I mean, no. I will say like growing up, I've always looked up to icons and divas. You know what I mean? And I only dreamt like being like them. I guess I never really didn't know how I would do it or what I would do. I mean, I still don't even know what I'm doing nowadays. I'm just kind of like literally just following my heart and just going wherever that passion is. You know what I mean? Like wherever lies the fun, wherever my heart is telling me to go, that's literally just what I do. You know, I couldn't have imagined it, but at the same time, I could. Does that make sense?
You came viral and then you kind of spun it into something, into a platform with a voice. And you were known as a meme, but now you have like a following and people really fuck with you for you. And you're just a down ass bitch. And I feel like there's a time and a place, I think around your generation, that people are starting to accept the community and the girls and the identity and the difference, because it wasn't so accepted at, you know, at a time.
It wasn't. And, you know, like, I think when that whole thing happened, there wasn't really people online that we could look up to. I know that's when you were just like starting recently too, around that year. And so, I mean, I remember looking up to you, first of all, I should say that. But also it was just really weird because I feel like the internet almost didn't know what to do with people like us. It's like, I remember us fighting for like boys in makeup for a while. Like, do you remember that whole thing? Like people were just like trying to get male representation or beauty boys into trend. And that was really just before like there was really a place for that. It's really beautiful seeing how it's evolved over the years and seeing how normalized like boys in beauty, and not even just boys in beauty, but like all identities in beauty, because it's like, we all belong here and everyone deserves to feel hot and sexy and beautiful, babe.
With the viral video happening and you being crazy in the back, and then how did it come from like that moment? And then you made it like a bigger moment. Like you got on interviews, shows, people were calling in, and then they obviously had to find you somewhere. So you were like Instagram. Is that how it happened?
Yeah, people were just contacting me through no matter like what social media, like they could just find me on, like, I think a lot of like through Twitter DMs, because most of the video was circulating a lot on Twitter. So that's where people were just finding me. People were like messaging my mother on Facebook to like find out how to get to me, because I was 14 at the time. Like I was a freshman in high school. I was so young. I like barely even had Instagram. I barely even had social media. You know what I mean? Like that kind of launched the whole platform. I never really was like trying to do anything online, but I guess I've always had like that outspoken mentality. And I've always known I had something to say, especially because of people who came before me that have inspired me. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't even think if I could have had the knowledge or the capability to share my, you know, passion without people like Lady Gaga or like my great grandma, for example. You know, just people before me really gave me the power to do that. And, you know, my parents, like I am really privileged to have my parents in my life, because without their support, I don't think I would have been able to get to where I am today and to be like a full face of makeup. You know what I mean? Like I didn't even wear makeup before social media. Like the whole world of social media changed my world, essentially.
You know, I'm giggling because I remember I bumped into you in Las Vegas for Tyra Beauty.
Yes, yes. That was like in 2016, I think.
Yeah. And in 2016, and we were in like the green room, and I think I saw you guys and I was like, hey, what's up? And I don't know if that's like the first time we met in person or we've been in contact, like we've been talking through DMs or something.
Yeah, well, I know that we would just see each other at events in passing because we were always doing something, but we never really had a chance to like kiki.
And that was like before you moved to LA, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, I just recently moved to LA.
Right.
Here.
Right. Or started visiting. Because you were still like living at home and still finishing school. And then I'm like giggling because I remember seeing your mom and your sister. And I was like, hey. And they're like, hi. Like so quiet and calm. You're like, hey, queen. And I'm just like, the contrast was like, is this the same family? Like you guys look so related. And it's just so funny because you're just so like outspoken and loud and colorful and animated.
I mean, they're like that at home. I guess they're more shy when they're out in public. And sometimes it comes across like in a wrong way. So I like hope it didn't.
No, it didn't. It was just funny seeing the contrast.
I have a great family though. Like family to me is everything. It's my number one. It's honestly like the foundation. And they're my balance because I think I am so loud and exuberant and colorful. They're really that rock, that foundation that holds me down.
Did you ever have a coming out or it was just what it was?
I did. Yeah. I did. So it actually happened that same year of the viral video. So I was just recently out when that whole thing took off. You know what I mean? I wasn't even wearing makeup yet. I just started exploring with my fashion sense. I just saw Kinky Boots like a month prior, which was like my gay opening into the gay world. My cousin,
right?
He's like the only other gay person in my family, but he just opened the world up to me essentially. And I went to a sushi restaurant and I knew why my parents brought me there because I was just really like shutting myself in my room. I wasn't talking to anyone. And little do they know, I was just in my room watching Lady Gaga videos, but I just was too scared to show and tell people that like, this is why I'm talking about room, like living vicariously through this queen.
And then you got to meet her eventually.
Yeah, which is even crazier. But I just sat them down at a restaurant. And I was like, look, I just have something to tell you. I can see myself more with a man in my life than a woman. And I was 14 at the time. I was in eighth grade about to go into high school. So like a lot of changes were happening in my life at that time. And they just open-heartedly accepted me for who I was. My dad did. My whole dad's side of the family too. And they're all Peruvian. My dad was born in Peru. And everyone down to my great-grandparents were really open and supportive. And like that's why I say I'm so privileged, because that is just not the norm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like for someone to be born in the 1920s and to be so like, yeah, you look gorgeous in makeup.
Do you have other friends, like close intimate friends that don't have that privilege? And do you understand it?
Yes, I have met several people. I wouldn't really say like close. Most of my friends are girls, but I do have really close friends who identify within like the sexuality spectrum, who have had experiences with their parents where they were not so supportive. And I think just coming to the realization that I am privileged and I should be grateful for this every single day, but not only that, use this power that I have to give the support to people who don't have it. Because I see it in my dear friends. You can tell almost when someone's parents used to not support them, but now do, or either like don't support them completely. And it's like, it's sad, you know, you really want, it's like, you almost feel guilty. You're like, why do my parents support me, but theirs don't? You know, it's something that I wish I could give to everyone. And honestly, it just powers me to just give that love to people who don't have it, essentially. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like a mother. I want to nurture everyone.
Mm. Yeah, it's crazy because I had my parents, they didn't understand, but I think I mistakenly perceived their lack of support as not loving me. I think they were just more scared of like that. So it's kind of like a gray area for me where I'm like, they didn't support me. They didn't want me wearing makeup, but then they still loved me. It was kind of like a mind fuck in my head. It's like, we love you, but don't fucking do that. And it's just like, they didn't understand, but they also knew how bad the world could be. And so I think they wanted it more so to protect me. But that was their way of sheltering me, which I thought was constricting me at that time. And I'm thankful for it. And it kind of allowed me to mature in a way and grow up and not run around with some hooligans. But I feel like a lot of people have those mixed signals. Like, we love you. Stick to our tradition. This is our family line. This is our bloodline. You know, you're going to carry the name, especially for men.
Yes.
You
know? Yes. So, I'm the only Jordan, I guess, who can carry the name. So I totally see what you're saying there.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. All right, quick shout out to my friend Jen Atkin and her brand. I have been using Way's body cream and body cleanser. If you guys have not tried the Melrose Place, which is their iconic fragrance, you guys literally have to. Melrose Place body cream is so hydrating, so skin softening. If you guys don't know, for me, I have eczema around my elbows, around my neck, around my joints. So especially coming out of winter, my eczema is activated literally from winter or super, super hot. So I can never win. But for me, I'm very, very picky and sensitive when it comes to actual cleansers in the shower. Because, you know, right after you step out of the shower, your skin gets so dry and it's wanting something nourishing. So as soon as I jump out, I literally apply the Way body cream onto my skin. Not only does it have like a beautiful, beautiful freaking scent, but it has a beautiful nourishing ingredients like coconut oil, Kupuasu and squalane, and it's literally so freaking rich, and it absorbs quickly, and then I get dressed and then go about my day. But for me, this was like a quick note and kind of hack. If you are not already doing it already, having the cleanser scent match your body cream scents is literally a must. So for me, I also use the Way Melrose Place body cleanser. Same iconic scent, but for cleaning the skin, I am obsessed with this. This balances my skin. It doesn't strip my skin, or it doesn't leave any like weird residue. It really gently cleanses and nourishes my skin, and I feel super fresh and clean. I am obsessed because the scent is just so consistent. Because if you were to use a different cleanser with a different scent and have a different cream or body cream after, you just have so many layers of scents that just becomes one janky scent. But for me, Way has iconic scents in all of their products. And the cleanser, really quick, has jojoba seed and rosehip oil, which leaves your skin super soft and hydrated and yummy. Pairing it with a body cream is literally the best. So if you want to experience the new Way Melrose Place body cream and body cleanser, be sure to check it out at theouai.com and use the code SAYYES, YAS, to get 50% off your entire purchase. Your body, your way. And again, that is 15% off your entire order at theouai.com, code SAYYES.
Hi, I'm Pia Barangini, a creative director of LPA, an entrepreneur, a wife, and a dog mom based in Los Angeles. This is my new podcast, Everything is the Best, where we basically ask interesting people, how did you go from zero to yacht? I'm always curious how the hell people became successful, and I figured you would be too. Get on the internet with me. Let's laugh, let's cry, let's overshare, and let's get inspired to live our best lives. Check out new episodes every Wednesday. It's all for you, baby. Thanks for listening. Love you, mean it.
Did you ever, did you go dark on your parents during that time period in your life? Like, did you kind of push them away because you felt like you weren't being supported at home?
I think for a period, it's so crazy because people are not going to, I've never said this, but I feel like during my reign as Patrick Starr, I had to really not push them away. I had to learn the business of being who Patrick Starr is, owning who I am, because I feel like there was a lot of wanted participation in who I am now, and they wanted to be a part of it and kind of tell me what to do as Patrick Starr. But I'm like, yo, this my drag. It's not your drag, because I feel like there was one part where I was like Patrick straight, and then I was like college Patrick, and then Patrick Starr was born when I was like 23. And then they were like, okay, we're confused, but we get it. Fine, go ahead and do makeup. And then it like started popping off, and they were like, oh, cool. So how's it working? This and that and this and that. And I was like, skirt. So the only person that out of my family that's involved in my business 100% is Peter, my younger brother. So he does all my operations and management alongside my personal manager. Peter's my business manager, and I have a manager, I have a publicist, and a producer. So it's just crazy that looking back and you asking me that, I had to really I didn't really have a dark side, because I was Patrick Starr in totality with the people that I knew that could support Patrick Starr to the fullest, but that did not include my parents.
Would you say Patrick Starr gave you the courage to kind of get through that time period of where they weren't, you know, accepting you? And was that like your escape where you could just be your own person?
Of course. I think, you know, when I look at Patrick Starr, I said this last year, like Patrick Starr last year, like Patrick Starr's about to turn 9. So like, if
you think about it. Happy birthday, Patrick Starr.
Thank you. But if you think about like Patrick Starr and a 9-year-old, it's not that experience. Like, you know, you think of people when they come out, it's kind of like you're born again and you have this like new identity. You are you're maturing your hormones and your mental
health.
Your
life is different when you come out. You enter new reality. It's so weird.
Yeah, but you're so young. And if you're like, oh, I just came out, like, baby, like, you are only not even a year old of being, I don't know, whatever, gay or whatever their identity is. But it's so crazy that even today, I'm still learning how to manage as Patrick Starr this identity when it comes to dating, sexuality, and all of that. Because I'm like, I'm only 9. I don't know what it's like, you know, to
not true, though.
To connect. Like, yes, you know, I identify as like a gay man and X, Y, and Z. But to pair that with this drag-esque persona, but be gay, it's kind of like, people, not everyone understands it. We're not just Adam and Eve anymore, you know? So I think that's one conversation that I think a lot of people are intrigued by, because the transformation is just like on my face. And when I do makeup tutorials, it's just so crazy. But you too, like when we wear our titties, girl, people are like, are you trans? All of us are like, no, we're just trying to show transformation. We're not trans. We're just trying to just show how sickening you could look.
Yeah, like there's different sides. I think like we're just artists. It goes back to that. Like there are really no rules in art. And the whole thing when it comes to being an artist is you like perplex people's minds because they won't get it. And they're not supposed to. And that's okay. But I think it's very interesting. You brought up something about sexuality and dating. And it's, I think, as someone who is a femme dominant persona, I think that can be very hard. You know what I mean? Especially in the LA WeHo gay scene. Like it's different. You know what I mean? Especially in a scene that has always valued masculinity over everything. I think it's fair. And that's something that I'm just now learning, you know, and just now getting over, because I thought as a feminine person, I would never be able to find love. I really, really, truly believed it because I wasn't attracted to femininity. So, and because of what everyone was telling me when I first came out on the internet at that time, people would just be like, oh, you're setting us 50 years back. You know what I mean? Your femininity is like basically an issue. And that being told at that age, at 14, when you just barely came out into a community that you thought was supposed to have your back, was just the biggest mind-boggling thing, and something that has stayed with me for years.
The funny thing about the community and the LGBTQ community, it's funny, but it's exciting, is that there are more colors than Roy G. Biv. You know what I mean? So
there's people all over.
There's,
Yeah, all over the spectrum. That's why it's called a spectrum, because there's an infinite amount of colors that we have yet to discover and exist, and also identity. But I feel like people by book have only learned those two colors, pink and blue, you know, boy or girl.
Yeah.
But now, and then us, we're like rainbow. And yeah. Then, you know, when you're like looking at in a Pantone book, there's thousands of colors, you know? So I think it's interesting for people to understand that. But I think through the power of social media and TikTok, people will then start to familiarize themselves with identity. Because if you think about it with in school, I always talked about this in school. I think you have to teach kids there's colors and then there's shapes. And then what are the different combinations you can have? And there's only so many that they're able to teach kids in a year without combusting. You know, there's triangles, squares, and circles. Okay, mommy, triangle, square, circle, yellow, blue, green. Like, that's it. And we're still learning. But I think when it comes to our identity in our teens and our adolescence, we start to explore ourselves at that age. We're influenced by the media, pop stars, music. And it's
really
crazy.
Limitless. I think people try to put a limit on themselves, but it's like the human mind is so complex. I'm not us being philosophers right now. Literally. No, but like being human in itself can mean any sort of thing. And honestly, I will say I'm really grateful to live in a city like Los Angeles, where that is more celebrated than not, where people can just be who they are and explore whoever they are. I think it's the coolest thing. Even someone who may seem like they're so self-assured like me, I'm really not. I'm figuring it out just like the next person is. But I think that I'm really lucky to live in a city that is, you know, more supportive of that than areas where that's not, obviously. It's a huge like honor in a weird way to live here, because we can just go to the store looking like this and not like fear for our lives, essentially.
True, true. How old are you now?
I'm 22. I just turned 22 in September.
22. Your identity, you identify as?
I mean, queer, I guess. I am attracted to men. And I am non-binary, so I'm pretty, I literally just tell people, like, I'm the best of both worlds, baby. I'm like a boy and a girl in one body. I'm fine with anything, you know what I mean? And whatever people want to view me as. I've always told my mom, like, I wish I could just transition to the middle space, like, whatever that would be.
When was that decision made from being gay to for F14 at the sushi restaurant to now being non-binary, non-conforming?
You know, I really will be honest with you. Being on the internet at that age was really weird, specifically because a lot of people from our community were telling me like, oh, girl, when are you getting on your bones?
Bitch, how much time do we have on this podcast? People would say the same thing.
Same thing, right? People,
yes. Like, so I like, can't girl, wait to stick you with some hormones, girl. Yeah, when are you going to get on moans, girl?
Like, yes, like,
you're
what
so
are you
passable, you're so sickening.
Or like, just like older people that I looked up to. I say older loosely, like a couple years, you know, whatever. Like grandmas, no. Or granny, shut up, girl. No, but actually, I just remember going to these events, like at 14, 15, 16, and getting pointed at and be like, you need to get on blockers right now. Or like people just messaging me, like saying, you're pretty, but you will look even prettier as a girl. And that to me was like a little damaging, because I'm like, oh my God, like, does that mean I'm not okay just being the way I am, like as an effeminate person, you know, just exploring who I was? Like, I'm 14, you know what I mean? And I won't lie to you, there was a certain truth to what they're saying, because when I was little growing up, I always felt like I was a half girl. I don't know how to put that into words. It's like I just wanted to be a girl, and I
you
felt
were
like
a mermaid.
Yeah, very much so. Like, I was just this like fairy being, like the in-between girl. I don't know how the fuck to call it. And so it's like I always knew what I was inside. I just didn't realize what that was even called. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Until I was just researching and watching a lot of trans YouTubers who really helped me find myself again, essentially. Mm-hmm. But it's so funny that you say that you had the same experience because it still happens today.
It's so funny. Like I have a very close friend that does the same thing. And it's so funny because, you know, before when I started doing makeup, I would wear like crazy dramatic eyes and 301s and bottom lashes and white contacts. And that was that. But the moment I would do something more wearable, a crease in the eye, a little Ardell lash, they'd be like, bitch, you're so fucking fishy, girl. If I just need to, they would always do the motion and the injection motion. They'd be like, girl, I just need to hit you with the hormones. If you're listening, you probably know who I'm imitating.
I think I know who you're talking about too. Yes, she's told just, the same thing.
Yes, yes. It's just so
I mean, like, I take it as a compliment. I take it.
No, yeah, for sure. For sure.
I don't, I used to be like, oh, should I, you know? But now I do take it as a compliment. And like, I won't lie that I haven't even told anyone this anyways. I don't even know if I should be sharing this, but I've heard that there are some people who are going on hormones for what they call a non-binary transition. Have you ever heard of that?
I have never heard of that.
I had a close friend who is trans tell me that and say that there's a couple people who are actually doing that right now. They just like aren't really that open with it. And what they're doing is they're essentially just taking a certain amount of hormones without taking the blockers. So it's kind of like this cocktail of both. I won't lie. It sounds intriguing, but I haven't researched anything yet. And I haven't talked to doctors, but it's funny because it's like, I've always talked like, I wish that was an option. I didn't know it was, you know?
Right.
I mean, I have my own way I want to look. I want full hips, flat chest.
Same. It's just crazy because I think, I don't want to say like I was a part of it, but I would be lying if I denied it. But I think I was a part of this identity discovery because I've always been Patrick Star online. I've always identified as male. I've always had nails.
You've definitely been an outlier because it's like, it's so funny because the whole time you would always refer to yourself as male. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And always refer to yourself as like a gay man. You know, am I correct? Is that?
Yes, yes. But then it would look so feminine and people would be like, it's like femme the house down, realness, passable. And then the moment I would put on a wig, people would, even when I play my character Brenda, it's so funny. I play this alter ego Brenda, country lady. But I played her last week and I put on the wig and I put on this beautiful Target sweater. And I kid you not, there were so many women in her age, like 40s and 50s, going, you look so beautiful. And I'm like, oh my God, not me. But they're truly like,
you're selling the fantasy.
DMing me. I'm selling the fantasy, but they love what she's wearing. They love what Brenda is doing. And it's just crazy how passable Brenda is separately from Patrick Starr. But then at the end of the day, like, when I'm just brushing my teeth and pissing in the can, it's like I'm standing as a male.
Do you use a men's restroom? Can I ask you?
Oh my gosh. It depends. Sometimes because I know that
can be scary.
Using the male restroom can be scary, but I know if I look feminine and I have my mask and I have like my high-waisted mom jeans and my bodysuit on, which is like my outfit all the time, I know I don't want to spook men, so I'll just hop in the women's restroom. And I have this turban, so you can't really tell if I'm feminine or not. But I think for the most part, I'll use the women's restroom for the sake of…
Just for like for safetyness and everything?
Yeah, for safety and consideration. Because you just never know with guys that are bros.
I use the women's restroom too. I mean, I get stares in both, I'll be honest.
Really?
Yeah. Because I feel like you're a little bit more, like, passable than I can be. I think I'm very much more on the androgyny side.
Yeah, in my head, I think I'm androgynous. But because I have a turban and I'm plus size, like, I got curves and titties, girl. So I just may look like a big girl with small tits. So,
But I love it.
Yeah, but if it's in WeHo, bitch, like… I'll use the men's restroom or the women's restroom. I mean, everyone just needs to fucking go, you know. It is what it is. So tell us about you and Lady Gaga and what that meant to you, like that moment.
she's my queen. She reached out, obviously, like when that whole thing took off. And since then, I think I've like met her and been with her, but like 6 different occasions, which is like insane to me. I just view her as honestly a true inspiration and icon with that. But not only that, but getting to work with her makeup brand, House Labs, was also a huge thing for me, because never in my life would I have imagined that like I'd be like a cover girl for her at the same time. So I guess it just all goes back to, I just think of little middle school me, like locking myself in my room and watching her interviews. And I wouldn't watch it from a fan. I mean, obviously I'm a fan, but like I would watch it more so of like learning her philosophy. And if Fabian is there, he will totally know what I mean. Because I think she's such a smart woman, and I have such a respect for artists and such a respect for people who really just pave their own way, like you, like her, like people who just stick to their own path and don't give a fuck about what the world says about them, and honestly follows their heart. You know what I mean? Because like there's thousands of voices, and I imagine even you, like there's thousands of voices always around you telling you what to do and what you should be doing and what you should be doing next and what you shouldn't have done. But I think at the end of the day, you're the only one who knows that. You know what I mean? And us as people, and just independent people, strong women. I've always looked up to strong women. So just being in her presence and having her acknowledge who I was a huge, I guess, just assurance that I can just do anything I want in this life. You know what I mean? And we can do anything that we want in this life. And I don't know. I mean, do you ever think of little Patrick?
All the time. I was listening to you just talk just now, and a lot of thoughts were going into my head about being compliant versus having camaraderie. Because, well, to march to the beat of your own drum and have no fucks given is one thing. But in between, you have to give like a reason for being such. Now, if you have a reason for being disruptive and a reason for being different and doing and going the opposite direction, I keep bringing this up. There was an influencer that said, she got this quote from something else, and she said, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. So when it comes to thinking of going one way and being crazy, no fucks given, but if you can be no fucks given with a team and have support, as an example, like your parents, like my team or Lady Gaga's team, it's so much more powerful, but it takes a lot of educating too. I remember even on my own team, I would make crazy decisions on the brands and for the direction of my career. And they would be like, okay. And I would be like, okay, this is the reason for being what I want, where I want to go. And so it takes, I feel like, a lot of explaining. It takes a lot of talking and sitting down so we can really go far. And I think as an influencer, you kind of have to comply within certain constructs, because you want that production gig, girl. You want that TV gig. You don't, like, you know, when you're on TV, you can't say the F word, but you know, it's like there are just
some, I'm gonna have to play by the politics a little.
Yeah, a little bit, and to be compliant. But also when I look at RuPaul, you kind of have to play the game to then make the game. Yeah. So when I think of RuPaul, like his philosophy in wearing suits, he wants to look like a powerful businessman. And for me, like, I don't wear a suit, but I talk like I know what the fuck I'm talking about in a room. But sometimes people are impatient and they just want to be what they want to fuck they want to be. But I feel like if people pay attention and educate and have power and camaraderie and companionship, you can go really, really far together. With that support. And I think that's what you've done in terms of like having your followers, and even with Lady Gaga and other amazing people that I've interviewed here, is that they have a support system, and in terms of personal and professional too. And I think that's something in terms of a foundation that people could really work on in aspiring to be in a career like yours.
Yeah, that is really beautiful, Patrick. And I haven't really heard much people talk on that specifically. You know what I mean? Because being an artist and being outspoken, there is that isolation aspect, but I think it's very important to also have like that grounding foundation of support, which is like, you nailed it.
You know what's crazy? This is just the fucking tea. When I look at these artists that have popped off for being so different, like Lizzo, Doja, Lil Nas, even someone like Dixie D'Amelio, I was watching her channel this morning. They're so unconventional and different, but they have the power of their label. They have the power of their team. They have the power of their peers in the space that support them for who they are. So if it's anything to consider, finding people online like you did, I think can really help people flourish.
Yeah. Social media has helped me by far. I don't even know where I would be without, you know, just the help of other creators, honestly. Like the power that they've given me just goes beyond words. I mean, when I was a little kid, just isolated, the family I had was through the people I watched on YouTube. You know what I mean? Like a simple little tool like that created such a lasting impact on my life, which I think that's why social media is really a beautiful thing. It can be toxic, but come on, it's like you can't deny what it's done for people at the same time.
So crazy. It came to my mind. Your bitch ass was in my first music video.
How could I fucking forget?
For a second. Okay, I literally slept 2 hours before that and I felt so bad because I was like living a dream, but at the same time, I was like in a literal dream. I was like half asleep. I was trying to serve everything because I'm on a Patrick Star set. Like I have to give Patrick Star energy.
You were giving because it was such a whirlwind because it was my first music video. It was the biggest.
Thank you. It was like the biggest risk that I've taken personally to do that while I had, because I had my, my Mac collaboration as well, but no one was gonna pay for that production. But I was like, if I'm gonna be here, I wanna be a teacher of glam because I've been a teacher on YouTube and I wanna have diverse students in it. But it's an expensive ass vision. So
I was gonna say, you did that independently, right?
Yeah, I did it independently. It was
didn't
over
fund any marketing or anything.
No,
it was a very expensive video, over $100,000 to produce. But I was like, it means so much to me. And I wanna have amazing people like you in it. And hopefully this risk will take me to a place of just visibility and exposure and with meaning attached to makeup. And so little did I know that video reached so many people, including my partners now for the brand One Size. And so One Size being a global brand, international brand in Asia.
It's so good. Those face powders.
Thank you.
But going back to you, I just remember me and Fabian were like, okay, we have this many desks. Okay, you're going to be in a desk. My team was like, Peter, you're in a desk. Fabian, so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so in a desk. This, and that. And then we were like, oh my gosh, should we ask Ren and Jordan? And then you fucking came.
Duh! I was at Disneyland the day before already. So I was like, why would I not fucking
I remember that. It was just like, oh my God, he said yes. So crazy.
I had to. No, I had just being a part of that was such like a surreal moment. It was such a fun experience. And like my mom loves you. So it's just, you know what I mean? It was just really, it was amazing. And I met Shayna through there.
Yes.
I love her. I look up to her as an artist. I think she's so amazing in what she does. I just met a lot of people. I meet a lot of cool people through you, like in Team Star. I think I love Team Star. Y'all know how to get down.
Well, we have a very fun team. And it was so funny because on that music video, you know, I remember also too, Ruben DeMade was also there. Very young, had just popped off on Ellen, I think at that time with Kim Kardashian. And I was like, oh my God, I want Ruben DeMade. He came all the way from the UK. And then there's Brendan Jordan. I was like, I have these fierce little boys. And then I had Jake Warden.
Yeah.
And
video as well. So I want all these on the chat, on the video, girl.
Yes. I was like, I want all these sickening boys in the video. And then I remember seeing you and I turn around and I'm like, this bitch has a full-on smoky fucking eye in glitter, everything, glam, overline lips. And I was like, oh my God, what have I created?
Is this
too much.
I came out of the factory star.
It would literally. It was so funny because it also too, I remember we were doing the transformation scene with Ruben. And Ruben had no makeup, quote unquote, no makeup. He just had like foundation and concealer. And then we were going to transition to him having full makeup. But when he had the no makeup section on, I was like, bitch, you need to hold up the product. I didn't call him a bitch, but I said, please hold the product up.
Hold up the logo so we can sell this compact to get visibility.
And he was holding it up. And I was like, hold it up. And he whispers to me, and I'm in drag as the fucking teacher. And he's like, oh my gosh, I can't bear to look at myself. I was like, why? He goes, because I don't have makeup on. And I was like, you're 10. You're 10 years old.
So like, she literally did have foundation on.
Had the whole brows foundation. And oh, it's just, he was like, I can't bear to look at myself. And it was just like so hilarious. And then I looked to you and Jake having a full ass face. And it was really, that was a special moment in my life that I'm so thankful that you were a part of. And to see you grow from then to being who you are now, it's like so cool.
I think that was my first time having like the full beat. Cause I've definitely worn like a shit ton of makeup before, but that was like the first time where it was really done to the nines, girl. Like I wanted to go out, but I had a plane to catch up.
Mm-hmm. And for you with going to makeup school, what was the intentions of going to like learn the glam?
Yeah, so initially, I've come like a long way in my journey of what I've wanted to do with my life and where I'm going and just different passions that I've picked up on. And for a while, I honestly wanted to be an industry artist. You know what I mean? I had huge passions of doing old school industry style. Like I wanted to work on sets. I wanted to do all of that. So I went to training for that where I met my best friend. Her name's Kinley. She is now a Dolls Kill model, which I'm so happy for her. She is a BBW and I love her. So I'm really grateful just because I went, because I met her, you know, which is just weird where our lives can take us. And I had amazing opportunities. You know, I visited on set through one of my friends who is working through some major box office hit horror movies, and she's the key artist for them. And when I was on set, I was just kind of like, you know what? Like, who am I kidding? Like, I just want to be in front of the camera, girl. Like, I don't really want to be behind it. So from there, I like changed everything. I was like, okay, I don't want to be an industry artist. Like, I just want to be like the beauty bitch in front of the screen. You know what I mean? And that all went back to my love of film and TV. Like, I have huge passions of film and TV and breaking into Hollywood specifically for the genderqueer space and just the gender bendy, non-binary space that Hollywood is really holding up right now. I think that there's it's like tapped, but still kind of untapped market. Mm-hmm. Cause before I never saw people on TV that looked like me, identified like me. And now we were starting to see these roles come up and we're starting to see more writers come out with these amazing and complex characters that are very true to who I am. And I think I just want to further in that, if that makes sense, and further in that artistry. I've been studying TV film acting for, I mean, seriously about a year now with an amazing coach who has helped me so far and getting in these rooms and getting seen by these casting directors. And it's just insane. The whole world is insane, but I have no doubt in my mind that I can take over.
I love it. The last topic I want to talk to you about is balancing this superstar personality, breaking into Hollywood, managing an identity seen by millions of people online. Where and how does dating come into
my roommate who's right here, he's like, oh Lord.
How much time do you have, bitch? We might have to get drinks and talk about it in Kiki. In our breastplates and a wig, bitch, at a bar.
My ex actually met you one time at Bossa Nova, and he was like going off about you, but he was just not good for me at the time or at any time, honestly. you know, I mean, how far do we want to go into this? Like, can I talk about like...
Yeah, talk about it.
Okay, so I think just my persona in general and just how effeminate I am and how expressively, you know, like femme I am, I think that comes with a lot of stereotypes of where I lie and what my role is in a relationship. And I think for a while I thought I needed like an older man to like take care of me. And girl, you know what I'm talking about. It's really interesting because dating is weird. I, for a while, tried to hide my feminine qualities. You know, I would masculinize myself a little bit. I would dress differently when I would go on dates. And then I met gorgeous dolls in LA who just say that some men just love that femininity. So it went from me being insecure about it to honing in that femininity. And then to finding men that were specifically attracted to that, but only that, if that makes sense. I'm kind of fetishizing that a little bit. And not only that, but placing me in this box of like, oh, you're like this little submissive, like bottom boy. And I'm just, and that's all I am. You know what I mean? And for a while, I lost my power. I really did, by talking to the wrong men who, instead of empowering me and kind of holding each other up as a relationship should, going to these people who I thought I viewed myself as less than. I didn't know as much as them because they were older than me. Or I should follow and trust everything that they say and do and talk about because they're older and they know more. And I should be taken care of by these people who really just don't know shit, you know? And I think dating is really interesting. And I'm really happy to be out of the situation I was just passed in, because I lost a huge chunk of who I was for a long amount of time. I mean, more than a year. I was so gone. I really was. And I don't know if you've ever experienced a relationship like that, but it's the most disheartening thing, because I'm kind of in this emotional space right now where I am just learning to find who that is again and honing that power. It's like I'm finding myself subconsciously doing things that I knew wasn't allowed or okay in my last relationship.
Are you glad you went through it?
Yes.
Because if not, you would be going through it in the near future.
Yes. Right. And so, you know what? I hold nothing against that person. I hold nothing against anyone who's ever done me wrong, because at the end, from a higher self form of speaking, everything that happens to you is meant to teach you something and really just show you a reflection of what's going on in the inside. And since that experience, I have taken my power in a way that I've never been able to. And through awesome people in my life, like my roommate, Aaron, who is like a super close friend of mine, my best friend, Kinley, my family, it's like everyone has kind of helped me realize who Brendan is, and coming into that is just a really beautiful thing. So I'm grateful for the experience. I'm so happy I'm done with it. I would never want to repeat that shit.
Amen. My friend Gabriel Zamora was on a podcast recently, and he said, you know what, when it comes to failure and learning and coping, there's no such thing, because you win and you learn. And so I was like, I thought that was like really interesting to look at losses like learning experiences, because I feel like we have to cope with losing something, someone, maybe yourself, but also learning from that. But I think just moving it into like a learning category.
Yeah.
Then
I think the only real time you lose is when you don't learn. And I say lose. You know what I mean? The only time you lose in life is when you don't look at that experience and say, okay, what can I take from that? And how can I grow from that? And hopefully not do it again or do it differently.
I'm like so blown away at how eloquent and mature, and I just forgot, like I blinked and you were 14 and now you're 22 and taking over. I love it.
Isn't that crazy? I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, but I love it.
I love it. Well, we'll have to kiki sometime and bring all the girls and
play dress up.
Play dress up for sure. We can bring your own breastplate.
Down the town. Going in the men's bathroom.
We have a segment called Doing the Most, appropriately titled. Would you like to play?
Duh. Like why? Like what? Am I gonna leave? No, bye girl.
Doing the most, bitch. who do you think is doing the most?
In terms of what? I'm a Libra, girl. I'm such a fucking Libra.
Good or bad, anything. What comes to mind?
Okay, you know what? I'm just going to say this. I think the top creators right now, and I don't really want to say who, but I recently found myself in situations with them. And I just want to say, I feel like a lot of people get hate for no fucking reason. And some people are really just the nicest human beings ever. Some people are shitty, but that doesn't really have to do with who you are and what you're doing in life. But you know what? I just have to think that some people who are doing the most is people online.
The question was, who do you think is doing the most?
Oh. I'm just kidding.
You know who is doing the most right now? Me, bitch, because we're looking for another roommate. So if anyone wants a roommate situation,
put a plug.
We need another roommate because we're trying to move into a house. Okay.
Love it. Love it. Oh my gosh. That was like, I said rapid fire. You gave me a whole.
I know. Or maybe my ass on Grindr is doing the most.
Bitch. I was about to say she's about 4,670 feet away.
Did you see that verse top in there?
I was like, I was about to report the profile.
No. I'm a top icon, okay? I am LA's newest top. I don't care what anyone has to say. I literally am coming in my power as a femme top. Okay, babes? Let that be known.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah, so any listeners out there who love femme tops?
I'm going to scream. Okay, what means the most to you?
My great grandma. Love her. Forever icon.
When were you the most messy?
Probably two nights ago. Yeah, I was so drunk. I went to Evita and I was just drinking vodka with the straw. I don't drink often, but when I do, I like drink. And I ordered 100 chicken McNuggets. I lost my car keys. I was like trying to knock on our neighbor's door, Amir, because he's so hot. And I just like wanted to talk to him. I visited someone on floor 2, girl. I don't know. I was just doing a lot that night. So, yeah.
Okay. What is the most expensive thing you have?
Oh, Jesus. Fuck. Probably my units, my wigs.
Tea.
They're like, I'm sorry, like over $1,000 for hair is a lot.
Oh my gosh. Well, you better wear them.
Buying a fucking laptop.
Like, tea.
That is insane. I mean, I know probably the laptop's like expensive, but like, come on, like these units.
I'm gagged. Well, I'm so excited. I got to talk to you and so thankful and honored. I got to hear from you. I can't wait to catch up and kiki and all the above. And where can everyone find you?
You can find me on social media. Brendan W. Jordan, baby.
Yes. Be sure to follow him, subscribe, support an icon of this generation and the future. And thank you so much for coming on Say Yes to the Guests. You are successful and I can't wait to see you very soon.
Thank you so much. Seriously, being on here was such like, and I just made my day right here. Just chatting with you. You're a really smart individual. I just want to let you know what you're fucking doing. So just keep doing it and don't stop, girl. Thank you.
Love you.
Love you.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Say Yes to the Guest. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast and follow at Say Yes to the Guest on all social platforms. Remember, you are successful. Now go out and be the bad bitch you truly are. Can't wait to chat with you next time. Bye.